Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Evans. Cuba has fascinated Americans for decades, but the socialist island has been off limits to most Americans for 50 years because of the U.S. trade embargo. Things are changing, though. As of today, the Cuban government ends travel restrictions, making it easier for Cubans to visit America. In 2011, President Obama authorized tightly regulated so-called people-to-people cultural tours, allowing more Americans to go to Cuba. WBUR's arts reporter Andrea Shea recently went along on one, and over the next few days we'll hear her reports in her series, Cuba Opens Through Art. Today, Andrea reports on what could be called a trade mission by a Boston art gallery owner to Cuba.
A 45-minute flight from Miami lands us in a whole other world. I climb onto a big white tourist bus with 24 other Americans. The reason we're all in Havana is Michelle Wojcik. She owns La Galleria Cubana in Boston.
It's extremely difficult for people to understand Cuba if they've never been here. It's really been demonized or exoticized, and it's quite complex.
Michelle deals exclusively in Cuban art. She's traveled to Havana 8 times before, always on her own, but this time she's gone to extraordinary measures to take American art collectors along.
And I just had so many really wonderful clients that have wanted to come to Cuba, and when I realized I had the opportunity to do it, I just felt I needed to do that.
To make it happen, Michelle teamed up with Sylvia Wilhelm, a Miami-based Cuban-American with a U.S. license that allows her to organize people-to-people cultural tours. This trip's angle is artistic, but also humanitarian. Michelle is a social entrepreneur and sees her 5-year-old gallery as a project. On this trip, she'll take her clients into her artist's home studios so they can get a glimpse into what it's really like to live and work in Havana. She also hopes it will deepen their relationships. But the 40-year-old dealer has another goal, to sell art. Our first stop is painter Adele Bordone's place, not far from the hotel. Adele lives in this airy 3-bedroom apartment with his 2 children and wife, sculptor Yamile Pardo. It's modest by American standards, but palatial for Cuba, where 50 families can share 1 decrepit mansion. A bright spread of Cuban food covers a table. Canvases are propped up against the wall and heaped on the floor. Smiling through a trimmed white beard and wearing a Nike shirt, Adele welcomes Michelle's clients through Sylvia.
I know that a lot of you are familiar with my work because of Michelle's gallery in Boston and Provincetown.
Adele is 60, and he's been painting professionally for 37 years. This is a huge moment for him.
He's going to prepare mojito. Yay!
2 of Bordone's paintings hang in Steve Zelkowitz and Amy Samuelson's Wellfleet home. Together, they own 9 works they bought at Michelle's Provincetown Gallery. With icy mojitos in hand, the couple recalls growing up in the 60s, the aftermath of Fidel Castro's revolution, the Bay of Pigs invasion, and when the U.S. trade embargo was first imposed on Cuba.
It's like, we're really in Havana.
I mean, it's wonderful to see the artist. It's wonderful to see his family and have them invite us here, and it's great. And it's Cuba. Who of us would ever have dreamed that we would be here doing this? I mean, never.
You know, you're welcome to flip through anything, because he happens to have a lot of work.
One piece features a dark-skinned woman in a long red dress, peering over her shoulder as if she's being watched. Another shows a man with jet black hair and a chaotic technicolor shirt, his mouth stretched wide into a howl. These images are a lens into Bordone's view of life on this beautiful, closed, politically fraught island. Like a lot of Cuban artists, he often paints isolated characters, shadowy forms, boats symbolizing freedom and escape. Michelle says art is one of the only ways Cubans can express themselves.
Artwork as an outlet for one's thoughts, one's feelings, one's challenges makes for really strong work and very interesting, very layered, very emotional work.
Michelle discovered Adele's work on the internet in 2007, and they've been close friends since. She holds one of about 30 licenses issued by the U.S. Treasury that lets her import Cuban art. A few times a year, Michelle flies to Havana, meets with her artist, then carries a trove of their work back to the U.S. At the gallery, she stretches the canvases, hangs them, and makes the deals.
Because the sales really go far. I mean, the money from sales for them really support their families.
Un ingreso estable.
Yes, a form of income that is stable.
Es más importante que todo es que yo soy fundador de la galería.
More importantly, he is part of a small group of artists that grew with the gallery.
Entonces uno siente, nosotros sentimos que es nuestra galería.
So they feel it's their gallery.
Es mi galería.
It's his gallery.
Ownership is a new concept to most Cubans. President Raul Castro, brother of retired Cuban leader Fidel Castro, made a limited number of small independent businesses legal here only 2 years ago, and they're cropping up everywhere. But artists have been allowed to engage in private enterprise since the 90s. American tourists can't buy Cuban cigars or rum on this trip, but because of an exception to the U.S. trade embargo, we can purchase Cuban art. The logistics are complicated, though, and Michelle's clients have a lot of questions.
Do you have dollars only? Okay, so we're going to do the calculation.
There are two forms of Cuban currency, pesos for Cubans and cucs for tourists. It's pretty confusing. American debit and credit cards won't work, so you need to bring a lot of cash with you. Michelle knows full well how tricky it is to do business here. She juggles a notepad, writing down passport numbers so she can report her clients' sales to Cuba's Ministry of Culture.
You know, in some ways, I'm a little nervous about the trip because I'm giving them exposure to the artists directly, which, of course, as the middle person, cuts me somewhat out of the picture.
By sacrificing her usual commission, though, Michelle is serving a larger goal, to improve the lives of Cuban people. A decade ago, she worked at the World Policy Institute, researching the embargo's economic and social impact. She says plenty of people reject the idea of Americans doing any kind of business with Castro's Cuba, a country notorious for repressing its people and punishing virtually all forms of political dissent.
You know, there are certainly Cubans that fled Cuba at the time of the revolution that would not be behind this. Most of those people would be in, you know, South Florida. But I would say in Massachusetts, I do get some pushback, but it's not very common. And of course, this has changed quite a bit over the past 10 years. I think there's been a little bit of a softening.
Artists like Isolina LaMonta have benefited from that easing. She works in the experimental graphic art studio in Old Havana, a 40-year-old cooperative that's home to Cuba's leading printmakers.
First, you have to put some water on both sides of paper.
Isolina creates textured prints on antique presses. The paper she and the other artists here use is thick, expensive, and often hard to find because it needs to be imported. American collector Bob Bell has seen Isolina's work at Michelle's gallery, but now he appreciates it even more.
I was just thinking as we were walking back to the bus, you know, how happy I am to actually get to see this.
Three of Michelle's artists are scheduled to visit the U.S. this year for shows at her galleries, so she needs to bring a lot of their work back to Boston. On the bus, she coaches her clients on how to pack their purchases into cardboard tubes.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get it for the biggest tubes they have. There's a guy that makes them.
In her hotel room, Michelle describes what she needs to do before returning to the States.
I come home penniless. I try to pay people as much as I possibly can because it's so difficult to pay back in the United States and figure out how to send money. Typically, I return with between 120 and 150 pieces of art.
In the end, Michelle helped make about $15,000 in sales for her seven artists. She says painter Adele Bordon was able to buy his family a new couch. When I ask Adele how he feels about his work hanging in American homes, he replies this way with a wink through Sylvia.
He says when a beautiful woman buys a painting, he says, please put it in your bedroom.
Entonces yo estoy ahí.
So he's there too. He's there too.
More seriously, though, Adele says he'll be painting feverishly to get ready for his big trip to Boston South End in March. He can't wait to see Michelle and her clients again. And Michelle has decided to take another group of American art collectors to Havana in February. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
Tu tombes dans le fort, à des montagnes, tu tombes aussi. I won't cry, no. I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand, stand by. I'm darling, darling. Bye.